Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, everybody, welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. LSU baseball just 2 days away from getting the 2020 season started as the Tigers try to defend their 2025 championship run, their second title in 3 years. They won for Jay Johnson in the baseball program, and you enter now 2026 with a lot of expectations, a lot of promise, and certainly a lot of really good players, which should certainly lead to lots of good results. And we're going to break down some of what I've seen here in the preseason, some of what we've heard from Jay Johnson and the players, and just kind of the overall message and vibes, I guess, going into the 2026 season here as the Tigers open up on February the 13th with Milwaukee. They'll play four games in 4 days, nine games in 12 days. So you're going to have certainly a big fix here of LSU baseball coming your way very, very soon. Before we get into kind of some of what I wanted to talk about with this on this pod, just wanted to ask you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button. Please leave us some comments as well. Always helps us out in the algorithms. And then if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Apple, please give us a subscription over there. Give us a review and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, with that being said, LSU baseball right around the corner here. It's been a long time coming since LSU last towed the rubber in Omaha. A lot has changed with this group, but also I think a lot has kind of relatively stayed the same. I think the one of the big kind of bullet point kind of overall questions that I think you had for Jay Johnson and this group coming in was just you know, maybe how this is going to be a little bit of a different title defense than maybe a few years ago. And, you know, it's been something, it was a question posed to Jay Johnson right at the start of spring camp. It was a question posed to the players. And, you know, they pretty much all gave a variation of the same answer. But I think the one that really stood out was Jay Johnson's, and just how, you know, they've been kind of in a unique position this year because they did lose so much from that 2025 team. When you talk about Cade Anderson, you talk about Anthony Ianson, you talk about, you know, some of the veteran players, the Daniel Dickinsons, the Jared Joneses of the world, you know, the Michael Braswells, who were really, really key for you last year, Luis Hernandez at catcher. There was a lot that LSU had to replace going into this season, but I think there was also an understanding that there was going to be a really nice blend of returning talent from that team as well. Guys who, you know, were young players who really rose to the occasion and were big time components to LSU making that 2025 championship run. And so, you know, you start with guys like Derek Curiel, you start with Chris Stanfield, Jake Brown, Stephen Milam, Cade Arambidi at catcher. Those are all guys that played meaningful innings for you last year in the field. And then you certainly balance that out with the pitching staff and guys like Cason Evans returning, Maverick Rizzi, Cooper Williams was a big-time component to your championship run. Zach Cowan, of course, played a really significant role. He returned Gavin Guidry from injury, who, of course, has pitched in as many big innings for LSU over the course of his now 4-year career than anybody. So there was that mix of guys that are returning here in 2026 that, you know, I think you have this season that maybe you didn't have, you know, a few years ago when you were trying to defend that 2023 championship run, for example. So LSU feels really good about the roster that they built. You know, they feel really strongly about just the connective tissues, I guess, of what this team can be. But now you got to go out there and you got to start playing games. And this is going to be a a 2-week schedule here over the first couple weeks of non-conference play, where you're going to get to learn a lot about this team. And, you know, I think for me personally, one of the big things that I think you're going to learn very quickly is just the depth of this pitching staff. It's been something that's been really talked about, really hammered home over the course of the offseason. But you know, LSU's got 20 pitchers on the staff, and I think that they feel very, very comfortable with a lot of those guys going out there and being able to pitch and pitch well here early in the season. And then, you know, as you kind of move through the first part of your season here, you know, this is going to be a situation where LSU gets to learn about roles for these pitchers, where they get to learn about, you know, who can step up as a starter, who can step up, you know, in those middle relief innings, and then who can, you know, slam the door shut on some of these games that are, you know, going to, you know, be closing options for LSU. And I think that they, you can only blueprint it out so much in the off season and in these fall scrimmages, in these preseason scrimmages. You know, you really, until the bullets start flying for real here, you don't really get a chance to completely understand what you have with these guys until the game starts. And so LSU is going to certainly get that opportunity here over the next several weeks of non-conference play, and hopefully set themselves up in a really good position going into the meat of their schedule, which is, of course, the SEC and the gauntlet that they always appear to be facing here in the deepest league in college baseball, with in terms of, you know, teams that are just always you know, producing really good teams and you know, Omaha, you know, NCAA tournament caliber rosters. So I think, you know, I just wanted to kind of give some of my overall thoughts here. I think the starting with that pitching staff, of course, you know, but now moving into the position player side, you've got a lot of really interesting pieces here. I think guys like we mentioned, Curiel, Brown, Stanfield, Milam, that core four there that are going to be playing out in the field, and then Aaron Beattie behind the plate is a very interesting kind of group that I think you're going to have to rely on to play a lot of games for you. I mean, you know, I think they have some interesting secondary pieces in the outfield, guys like Daniel Harden, who I think could be maybe a fourth outfielder for him. Mason Braun, the freshman, is somebody that I think could play a little outfield for him here in non-conference play. But you really want those guys in the outfield to be kind of the core three, the in terms of Curiel out in center field, Stanfield out in left field, and then Jake Brown in right. So those are going to be guys that, as long as they're healthy, they're going to be in the starting lineup, and they'll probably bat towards the top of the order for, you know, the majority of this season. And so you have that nucleus of an outfield returning. You've got Milam, of course, who is your infield just wizard. I mean, the guy is just a defensive one of the best defensive shortstops in the country, and, you know, proved that last year, was one of the more consistent guys I think that LSU had from a defensive perspective last year, and they had an elite defense last year. I mean, statistically, it was one of the best in program history, and that's in no small feat because of Milan's play over at shortstop. So you got him returning, and you've got certainly that bat, which I think is really you know, going to be the big question mark with him, is, you know, how much does the end of last season, where he really started to get cooking in Omaha and in the postseason, how much does that carry over here into 2026? He's had, from what I've seen over the scrimmages, he's had just really consistent days, you know, defensively and at the plate. I think he's hit a few homers here in the preseason, and you know, been very consistent there at the plate, which is good. You really like to see that going into the season for him. Aaron Beattie, though, I think is going to be one of your biggest X factors of this entire roster. I mean, if you don't know, Aaron Beattie last year played a good amount of games. I mean, he was the primary catcher for Anthony Ianson, I think, for most of the regular season. You got into that late end of the year and into the postseason some, you started to see more Luis Hernandez in the everyday lineup. But Aaron Beattie had a very significant sample size to go out there and to learn and to adapt to the college game, certainly adapt to the SEC. He went through some struggles at the plate and certainly behind the plate as well. But I think he learned and grew from that immensely, because he's come back and he's been arguably LSU's best player since the fall. You hear that from Jay Johnson. You hear that from several of the players that we've talked to, just how much he's improved, not only at the plate from a hitting perspective, but also defensively. Just in the last 2 weeks in the scrimmages that I went to, leading up to this season, he threw out probably three or four different base runners, at second base from behind the plate. He's got a very quick release now behind there. Very few balls are getting past him, from these pitchers, which is really a good sign going into this season that they have a guy that's going to be a very reliable catcher and picker of the ball, by the plate. So he's a great framer as well. I mean, like, there's certainly been a couple calls that could go either way. I think from an umpire call standpoint, that he's framed up really nicely and gotten the strike call there. So I just think he's an overall really, really improved player. He mentioned to us last week in a press conference that we did just how important Luis Hernandez was to his development. And then, of course, Josh Jordan is the catcher's coach, and they've been working really, really closely with him over the last couple of years as well. So I think, Aaron Beattie's got an opportunity here to be a 285, 290, maybe even a 300 kind of hitter, a guy that can hit 9 or 10 home runs for you, be really consistent at the plate, but then also be just a really, really strong foundational piece for you as a defensive catcher as well. So when you have that piece there, that certainly helps you feel a lot better going into the season, where you're going to have to pitch a lot of guys. And I think the overall consensus right now from a pitching staff perspective is that there are a lot of arms that LSU is going to be able to use here early in the season as they try to figure out what these roles might look like. I don't think you're going to see pitchers going, 6-7 innings right out of the gates here to start the season. I think they're going to ease those guys in, give them 4 or 5 innings apiece. That's what they've kind of been doing here in these scrimmages, and really ramping up their pitch count and just their durability. Kaysen Evans, I think, is a guy that you'll see on the weekend. I think Cooper Moore, the transfer from Kansas, is another guy that you're going to see on the weekend. Zach Cowan, William Schmidt, and then Cooper Williams are all kind of in that bucket to me of guys that you could see in these first 4 or 5 games of the year to start on the mound. I think that there's a lot of really interesting things that those guys do that could, develop this, take this pitching staff to a new level. We talked to Zach Cowan last week, and he talked about how he's added a couple new off-speed pitches to kind of prepare himself to where it's not just relying on that fastball changeup combo, which is elite and got a lot of really good hitters out last year. But that he can also turn to another breaking ball or two to help his pitching arsenal get to a point where he's very, very consistent in an extended role that LSU's going to be carving out for him this year. So those are just a few of the guys I think you could see starting on the mound this weekend. William Schmidt got a chance to check him out last weekend as well, and kind of the dress rehearsal scrimmage. They start doing all of the PA announcements and things of that nature, the music, the walk-up songs, all that. They kind of did all that last weekend in the final weekend of games or scrimmages leading up to the season. And Schmidt came out in the first inning of his scrimmage last weekend and didn't look sharp in the first inning. He walked 3 guys, was able to get out of it mainly because of his defense. And Milan made a nice play over at shortstop. Aaron B made a nice throw out at second base to really help him get out of that inning. But then over the next four innings, he struck out 11 guys. I think he allowed one or two base runners total and no runs over the course of his five innings. So it was a really spectacular performance there after that first inning, and really important to see, I think, just kind of the best of what he can offer for LSU on the mound, and then also kind of the side of his game that could give him some trouble this year, to be quite honest with you. So how he balances that out, how he kind of makes it to more the latter than the first inning, the latter innings in the first inning, I think is going to be really important for his development and just what kind of role he winds up having on this team. But if he pitches the way that he did the last four innings of that game, of that scrimmage last weekend, he's a huge X factor for this pitching staff. I think he raises the ceiling of this team. I think he is a guy that you look at, that the talent and the ability has never been the question. It's just been about, the command and the control and the location of his pitches. And I think if he's able to get a better grasp of that here in his second season, the sky's really the limit for William Schmidt if he's able to take that next step. So just wanted to touch on him there for a little bit. Evans, you know what you're going to get. He's a guy that, is preseason All-American, preseason, Golden Spikes Award kind of guy. I mean, he's going to be, I would be very surprised if he's not the Friday starter for LSU here to start things off against Milwaukee. And then Cooper Moore has been a very, very consistent transfer for you. A guy that, I don't think you don't want to make comparisons right now, but a guy that I think LSU has a vision for to come in and fill that transfer role that LSU has seemingly found in a lot of these prior seasons. I mean, they went out a couple of years ago and got Paul Skeens and Thatcher Hurd, and then the next year they got Luke Holman and Gage Jump. Last year they got Anthony Ionson. I'm not putting Cooper Moore in that bucket yet. You have to see him for a couple weeks and certainly for the rest of the season to kind of put him in that kind of rarefied air. But I think that's the hope here, is that LSU has found a pitcher here that can come in and be a very consistent starter for them and help them win games, not just in non-conference play, but be a difference maker in the SEC as well. So that's just a little bit there about the starting options that I think LSU has at their disposal.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
I will say, I've also seen two scrimmages in a row now of freshman pitcher Zion Theophilus. He is a very interesting player. I mean, he 2 weekends ago, he went out and threw three innings of shutout baseball, struck out Curiel and Chris Stanfield on seven pitches, just looked really in command and in control of things, and then followed it up the next weekend with 3 2/3 innings of, I believe it was scoreless baseball. He might have given up one run. He got in trouble a couple times, was able to pitch himself out of it. So he's a guy that, certainly if he's not a weekend starter, I could see, LSU giving him a midweek start here and there and seeing what he does with that opportunity. And then he can be a really interesting bullpen piece for you on the weekends as well. So, Theophilus is a guy that's really stood out to me here over the last couple weekends. And we'll see kind of what happens after that. I mean, they have so many guys on the mound that they can turn to. I didn't even mention kind of their big bullets there they're going to use out of the bullpen. You know, Maverick Rizzi is a guy who's taken a really big leap here. They've extended him going back to the fall as well. I believe he pitched about 3 2/3 innings or a couple innings out of the bullpen here in this dress rehearsal from last weekend. Pitched really, really well. Guy that I think can give you some long relief. Guy that can go in and get you 12 to 15 outs with the way that he's pitching right now. And then can also close games for you. Like the one thing that we know about Jay Johnson here is that he likes to have pitchers or one of his best pitchers closing games for him. And you know, I think Maverick Rizzi is certainly going to be right at the top of that list for LSU as a key closer for them. I think Guidry is another guy that you could see doing that as well. Devin Sheeran, the transfer from last year who actually missed last year because of a torn ACL, he's come back and he's pitched a lot here over the last couple weeks. Actually, LSU threw him two different times this last weekend, so he's maybe a shorter relief guy for you, but a guy that can go out there and throw 9,800 miles an hour, get you 4 or 5 outs, and close the door shut on some teams. I think from the left-handed side, they have a really interesting mix of left-handed pitchers. You know, not just Cooper Williams, who I think has maybe been your most consistent pitcher for you, just going back to the fall and just the development that he's made. Could certainly see him being thrust into a starting role on the left-handed side. Because all those other guys that I mentioned earlier from a starting perspective are righties. You'd love to have a guy that can go in there and start left-handed, and I think Cooper Williams would be that guy for LSU. Danny Lockenmeier is a transfer that they brought in that's going to have a role out of this bullpen. Ethan Plogg is another guy. It was described to me a couple weeks ago as the pitcher that nobody's talking about right now, who's going to maybe have a bigger role on this team than people are expecting. He's a left-handed. He's got a very kind of weird, tricky little slide arm slot with his pitches, and so makes him a little bit of a tougher hit. But I think he's going to be somebody that LSU can really lean on. I think from a freshman standpoint, Marcos Paz is another really interesting player, but a guy that I think from a freshman standpoint is still learning the nuances he's a very high velocity pitcher, but his command and his control have been something that LSU's continuing to work with him on. But he'll have opportunities here early in the non-conference as well. So they have a very deep pitching staff. I mean, they have guys that I think they're going to really be able to turn to, not just as starters, but if those starters get into some trouble, that they can really turn to some of these bullpen arms and get some really good things going for them. Jaden Newt's another guy, redshirt junior now. He's in his fourth year. You saw him have some really bright moments, I think, last year as well. I think he's somebody that could maybe find his way into a starting role, but if he's not a starter, could certainly fill a middle relief innings role where you ask him to go get 8 to 10 to 12 outs. I think he's very capable of doing that. He's a veteran now. He's got some experience under his belt after missing the better part of 2 years there with Tommy John surgery. I think this is probably going to be his, his big year here to really try to stand out and make a name for himself. So that's the pitching side of things. I did want to touch real quick on the transfers on the position player side. I know that I've bounced around a little bit here, just wanted to touch on the guys that they brought in on the field and just kind of how I see maybe these positions playing out. I think we have a pretty good understanding of 7 of the 8 position players that are going to play for LSU. I think you're going to see, of course, Curiel in center field. You're going to see Jake Brown in right field. You're going to see Chris Stanfield in left field. You're going to see Stephen Milam at shortstop. But this is where the transfers kind of come in. And, I think LSU right now has a number of different guys that they've been trotting out there in the infield. But I think just on what we've seen here in the preseason that Zach York, the transfer, is going to be your first baseman, and Trent Carraway is going to be your other. He's going to be your third baseman. Trent Carraway they got from Oregon State, and then Zach York, I believe they got from Old Dominion. I can't quite remember where Zach York's from, but they got him from Grand Canyon. Sorry, Grand Canyon. That's the other side of the country. No, they got Zach York from Grand Canyon. Very consistent hitter. A guy that I think LSU has been pleasantly surprised is actually a pretty decent defensive player, which is why he's been able to secure that first base spot. But has, you know, potential to hit double digit homers for LSU this year. I think he's going to be a guy that you know can hold his own defensively. He's apparently the best, you know, picker of the baseball over at first base. You know, when you got infielders that are making really tough throws or making tough plays, you know, you're going to get those one hoppers, those two hoppers. And I think Zach York has probably proven to be the most consistent at being able to pick those off and get those outs over at first base. So they feel really good about him, and he's just a great personality. I mean, if you spend even, you know, 10 minutes just talking with him, you could tell how much he loves being here, how much he is taking in every moment of this being his last, you know, season in college. And so really great locker room, dugout kind of guy. And I think he's going to be a really good piece for LSU. Carraway is kind of the guy that I think LSU brought in with the understanding or with the intentions of, you know, being kind of that power hitting infielder that, you know, I'm not going to put him in the Tommy White category or the even the Daniel Dickinson category, where, you know, they were kind of the two stars that I guess LSU brought in on the infield over the previous couple of years. I think that Carraway is a guy that really came along towards the end of the season at Oregon State. You know about the postseason run that he had. I believe he hit six home runs in Oregon State's run to Omaha last year. So he started to figure some stuff out at the plate last year, but I think they've really worked with him this year a lot. He talked with the media a few weeks ago about some of the little intricacies that he's working on at the plate, some footwork stuff, just trying to get his hips rotated a little bit quicker with his swing. I think he's somebody that, you know, if you know, Jay Johnson and the developmental plan that LSU typically has for these players works on him, he could be a really explosive piece for LSU in the middle of that order. And another player who LSU has been pleasantly surprised by has done a really nice job defensively since getting here as well. So, you know, Carraway, I think, has got, you know, third base pretty much sealed up right now. We'll see if anybody else can kind of climb in there. But the real position battle right now that's going on is second base. And, you know, what happens at second base and then, you know, kind of playing off that, what happens at the designated hitter spot as well is going to be kind of the two positions here that are up for grabs and that we probably won't have a great understanding of in terms of who will maybe lock down that position or lock down those spots long term. I think there's a number of different routes LSU can go at second base. I think Seth Dardar, the transfer, is somebody that, to me at least, has shown maybe the most consistency at that position. And when you balance not only just defense but also the offensive firepower that he has, you know, he's not a guy that I think is going to hit 12 home runs, but if he can get eight and be just a very consistent hitter for them on the left side, I think that's a win for LSU at second base. You know, he's a second baseman, but he hits lefty, and you know, that's a very interesting kind of thing for LSU is to have, you know, those left-handed bats in there. It's something that Jay Johnson, you know, really, when he's, you know, writing out his lineups every day, you know, he loves to see those right left kind of mixing and matching there to have that balance for opposing pitching staff. So Dardar, I think, is a guy that's going to see, you're going to see a lot in the starting lineup here over the first month of the season. I think the other two right now are Tanner Reeves, another left-handed batter, but also a guy that's played for you. He was mainly at third base last year. They've moved him over to second base this season, which is probably his most natural position. And he's played well defensively. He's going to be a really nice defensive piece for you, but also I think has some untapped potential at the plate as well. I mean, we didn't see enough of a sample size of him last year over at third third base just because Michael Braswell turned into a really, really solid defensive third baseman for him. And, despite his struggles at the plate at times last year, was just a guy they couldn't take out of the lineup because of how well he played defensively. And so Reeves, played a little bit early in the season, had his opportunities, here and there as it grew along. But if he gets it to a point where he is, consistently in the starting rotation, I'd love to see what, a 4 or 5 or 6 game, stretch of him at second base looks like. I think you can tool around with that kind of stuff here in the non-conference and get all these guys really involved. And then the third one is Braden Simpson. He's another transfer that they got, probably of the three that LSU brought in to compete at second base, has the most power to his bat. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I was out at one of the scrimmages and LSU was even trying him out at catcher a little bit, just to kind of, I think try another person behind the plate there, give them another option. Aaron Beattie's going to be a guy that's going to soak up a lot of innings for LSU. Omar Serna, the freshman, is going to soak up a lot of innings at catcher. But if they can find ways to get, their power bats at the plate, or, as a late sub or something where Simpson can go in for the final couple innings of a game, or whatever the case may be, that's certainly something worth exploring, because I do think that Simpson has double-digit home run potential for LSU this year. Another veteran player who's got a lot of experience under his belt, and a guy who can play second, he can play a little first, he can play, maybe a little bit behind the plate. He can be a Swiss Army knife for LSU, I think, in the field if they ever need another power batter in there. So those are the three that I think you'll see kind of cycle through the first month, Simpson, Dardar, and Reeves at second base. Just mentioned a little bit about catcher, but Aaron Beattie's going to play a lot for you at catcher. I think you're going to see Omar Serna, the freshman, get several opportunities here as you try to not only get Omar Serna some meaningful reps here at college, but also kind of preserve Aaron Beattie a little bit here as well, because he's going to be taking on a huge, huge workload for you as the season continues to drag on. So you want to have as many opportunities there to alleviate some of his the durability concerns you could have with a guy behind the plate, just because of how taxing and how involved that position at catcher really is. So those are just some of my thoughts on this team. I think as you look ahead to SEC play, the big question here is going to be what LSU's pitching staff is able to kind of figure out over the first month of the season on the mound, who kind of settles into those roles in a tight game. For example, if LSU is trailing by one or leading by one, who can they turn to in the bullpen to really kind of get them to the finish line is going to be a really important lesson to learn here over the next month or so. On the position player side, I think how things settle in the infield is going to be the major question mark there. I think you have a pretty good idea what this team's going to look like in the outfield and what it's going to look like at catcher, what it's going to look like at shortstop. But who are those guys that we just talked about kind of really steps up for you at second base, at first base, at third base? I think that's going to be a very interesting question. And then who is it that we are not talking about right now that can really step into a big role as the season progresses that, maybe we're not expecting? And that can be on the pitcher side, or it can be on the position player side. And I think there's a number of interesting candidates for that as well. Mason Braun, I touched on him maybe a little bit earlier, but he's a left-handed freshman that has just come to campus here and just been able to hit really since the fall. I mean, I think he's a guy that you could slide in to designated hitter right away, and he'll go out and he'll get you two hits. He'll go out and, hit, 7 or 8, 9 home runs, be very consistent for you at the plate, take really good at bats, take disciplined at bats, not get himself out. He's a really, really impressive hitter at this stage of his career. LSU's had him working both in right field and in the at first base throughout the first offseason of his career. Just, you don't know how many opportunities are going to come his way in the outfield. So the big question mark here, I guess, is when he gets those designated hitter position opportunities, does he make the most of them? And does he kind of just put a stranglehold on that job with the way that he's been able to pitch? So with the way he's been able to hit. So those are just a couple of my thoughts here on the season. Really excited to get out there at the box. You know, this is arguably one of my favorite times of the year. I really enjoy covering this team, covering this program, and it helps when you win a lot of games. You have really good players, and then you also have really good people to interact with on a week-to-week basis as well. A lot of good people in that building. LSU has very high expectations again this year, and they have the team, I think, that is very capable of meeting those expectations. So it will be very interesting to see, very interesting to watch. But, you know, I think this is going to be a really fun season and one that should net LSU some really good results if they kind of stay the course and show the kind of development and improvement that they have shown over the course of Jay Johnson's career here at LSU as these teams move along their journey. So with that, we'll get out of here. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Make sure you guys are staying tuned with all of us. We'll have all the updates here at Go 24/7. So we'll talk to you all next time. Thank you.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?